Hare Krishna. So on the special day of the appearance of Advaita Acharya, we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 6, text 12. So this chapter is about the glories of Lord Sri Advaita Acharya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Purport. Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from the conditioned life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of the material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune, directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same, because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself. For such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest spiritual, highest stage of perfection. Om Adnyanti Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvi Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this particular section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, right at the beginning, Kaviraj Goswami talks about the glories of the Pancha Tattva. That is the preface of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he begins by discussing the reasons for appearance of Lord Chaitanya, followed by the glories of Lord Nityananda, and now discussing the glories of Advaita Acharya. So this entire chapter, chapter 6, discusses the glories of Advaita Acharya. spiritual life and the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya is incredibly both powerful and also subtle. We see that millions of people celebrate Janmashtami, the appearance of Lord Krishna. But the Lord Himself is attracted by His devotees, and especially Srimati Radharani. But when we see Radhashtami, not even 1/100th of the number of people who celebrate Janmashtami worldwide perhaps celebrate Radhashtami. And similarly, we see that Lord Chaitanya's appearance day is incredibly powerful. But Lord Nityananda, whose mercy leads us to Lord Chaitanya, is more powerful and more wonderful. And Advaita Acharya, whose appearance day many of us don't even properly celebrate, he is actually the personality why we have Lord Chaitanya in the first place, appearing. Of course, there are internal and external reasons for Mahaprabhu's appearance. One of the most important external reasons is Lord Advaita or Advaita Acharya calling Mahaprabhu to appear. So today's day is incredibly auspicious and powerful. And I shall attempt to speak about a few things. Advaita Acharya's pastimes are many. Lord Chaitanya himself says that nobody can understand the mood, the nature, and the pastimes of Advaita Acharya because they are innumerable. But just to give a flavor of who he was, there are four things mentioned in this verse. Jagata Mangala Advaita. Advaita Acharya is the cause of all auspiciousness in this universe. So I will speak a little bit about that. And then it says Mangala Gunadham. His mood is auspicious. Is perfect. So what is the most auspicious mood? We'll talk about that. And then the next line says, Mangala Charitra Shada. Charitra means activities, characteristics. So we'll discuss how Advaita Acharya's pastimes are auspicious. And Mangala Jaranam. And his name is auspicious. So we'll discuss about the name of Advaita Acharya. And one very wonderful pastime we find. The source of my information is several literatures, so I shall not be pausing and mentioning them. Primarily Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Antya Leela. Not so much in the Madhya Leela, Adi and Antya Leelas. Also Chaitanya Bhagavat, Swarup Damodar's Kadcha. So various sources. So Advaita Acharya was born, or he appeared in 1434 in a place called Lora in Bangladesh, what is now Bangladesh. It used to be East Bengal. It's not very far from Sylhet, which is now the capital of Bangladesh. In the name Sylhet came about because the British couldn't pronounce Srihatta. So they said, what is this Srihatta? Shrihat, Sylhet. They made it Sylhet. So now they go by Sylhet. But it's Srihatta, the capital, always. So Srihatta, close to that is this Lora, where there is a small village called Nabagram. And it is in Nabagram that there were two elderly Brahmin couple. Name was Shri Kurma Pandit, Shri Kuber Pandit, and his wife Nabha Devi. So Kuber Pandit and Nabha Devi, at a very advanced age, when they were over 50 years old, they were blessed by a son. Kubera So Kavi Karnapur says Kubera is non-different from Kubera. In you know who Kubera is? The lord of wealth, the master of the Guhyakas. He's the one who lives in the northern Himalayas. He's an associate of Lord Shiva, a private secretary of Lord Shiva. And he's the protector of the dham where Lord Shiva resides, Kailash. So Kubera himself appeared as this Kubera Pandit. And the child that was born to him, the most auspicious, he named him Mangala. Mangala means most auspicious. Actually, the name Shiva also means most auspicious. And this child was non-different from both Sadashiva and Mahavishnu combined. And then the child grew up, did his education, later on moved to Shantipur, which is near Navadvip. And he also had a house in Navadvip, not very far from today's Srivasangan. If you go to Navadvip, Mayapur, you must have visited Srivasangan, very close to Yogapit. So near Srivasangan is where Advaita Acharya used to stay. That was his one house. And he permanently resided in Shantipur, which is also not very far. So who is this personality, Advaita? Let us first understand that. And I'll spend only about 3 to 5 minutes on that. Slightly technical, but hopefully we need to understand tattva. As Mahaprabhu himself has said, tattver koro bichar. Understand the tattva, and then we can understand the pastimes better. So what is the tattva of Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya is non-different from both Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. So who is Mahavishnu? I mean, I heard this many, many years ago, 1993. There was a few brahmacharis with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and he was explaining this so beautifully. And that was the first time I truly would say, at least philosophically understood the difference between Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. So, whenever something needs to be created, you primarily need two things. You need somebody who, let's take the example of, in the classic Nyaya Shastra, Nyaya means the school of logic in India, they talk about two hetus or karanas or causes. One is the material cause of anything, and the second is the, anyone knows? Efficient cause. There are two causes. I'll give you an example, it'll make sense. So let's say there's a pot. A pot is made up of clay. How did the pot come about? Did it just appear? The logicians, they ask, how did it happen? Did it appear? Just appear? No. Somebody made it. So you need a potter to make the pot. But can the potter take some grains of rice and make a pot? Can the potter take some sesame seed and make a pot? The potter needs clay. So to make a pot, you need two things. You need the clay and you need the pot. Correct? Are you with me still? Yeah? So the potter is the efficient cause. Actually, even Srila Prabhupada mentioned in this purport, in one line, both of this, and in the introduction of this chapter, right, the first paragraph, he mentions about the material and the efficient cause. So what is the material cause? The clay. The efficient cause is the potter. You need the potter and you need the clay to come together to create the pot. Similarly, now let's talk about the material world, the universe. To create the universe, what do you need? What are the ingredients primarily? You need the? Huh? You need the ingredients. The ingredients of the material universe are pradhan. Altogether combined is pradhan, the primary ingredient. So that is the material cause of the universe. Matter, everything, our bodies, everything we see around is a transformation of pradhan. But that in itself cannot cause the universe. Somebody has to make it happen. So who makes it happen? Brahma, Mahavishnu, yeah, Brahma, yes. But the primary cause that makes it happen is the Ichha Shakti of the Lord. I mean, Mahavishnu does not even stand up. He's lying, right? He doesn't even bother standing up and doing anything. He just desires. Aitreya Upanishad says, Sa Aikshata. He just looked. He looked, and that was enough for the whole creation to begin. So you have the Ichha Shakti of the Lord, or the Yoga Maya of the Lord, and you have the Mahamaya of the Lord, which plays with the Pradhan, and the Mahamaya and the Yoga Maya combined makes this whole universe. So who controls the Yoga Maya? The controller of Yoga Maya is Mahavishnu. The controller of Mahamaya originally is Sadashiva. And so that Sadashiva and Mahavishnu are two aspects of the same personality. One managing the spiritual, the other managing the material. And hence Sadashiva and Mahavishnu are the same personality. So Advaita Acharya is that one personality who is both Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. He is both the material and the efficient cause. Of course, there are various philosophies, and the Advaita philosophy, the philosophy of Shankaracharya, talks about the Vivartavad. And the Vaishnavas, we believe in the Parinamvad. We're not going into that. It's very technical. But the essence of that is that Vivartavad, the Mayavadis believe that the Lord is true and everything else is false. The world is false. Whereas we believe, or we have come to a conclusion through the scriptures, that both the world is real, the Lord is real, and the world is only a transformation of the energies of the Lord. Okay, so that was the technical part of the class. 5 minutes. I'm now going to some of the pastimes and some of the sweetness around Advaita Acharya's characteristics, etc. Jagata Mangala, it says, Advaita Acharya was the cause of auspiciousness. So Advaita Acharya, when he was in Shantipur, he started, because he saw that people around him were completely disinterested in anything spiritual. So let's remind ourselves, that was the era of the Mughal emperors in India, where there was a lot of oppression. It's only historical facts that I'm saying. So there was a lot of oppression, forced conversions, killings, violence, you know, not enough freedom of practicing your religion. If you're not a Muslim, there were taxes applied called jizya, the Arabic word which means a non-believer has to pay tax. So many things were there. So people were constricted, people were converting, embracing Islam because of so many reasons. And Advaita Acharya was seeing that the world is just collapsing. Nobody is interested in spiritual sciences. So the first thing he did was started preaching Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He was holding classes in his own house to begin with. And Navadvip was the place of, you know, like we have university towns, Oxford, Cambridge. Navadvip was one of the university towns of ancient India. So he moved to Navadvip and he started preaching there. Like if we want to preach to the student community, we would go to Oxford or Cambridge and we'd run programs there. So similarly, he started going to Navadvip. And one personality who was living in a close-by village, Puliagram, Who was that personality staying close to Advaita Acharya's village? Puliagram? Haridas Thakur, yes. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, but a great devotee of the Lord, Lord Brahma himself. So he would follow. He would come to Shantipur, which is the next village where Advaita Acharya was, and Advaita Acharya would take him with him to Navadvip. And in Navadvip, they would discuss Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day, daily, Advaita Acharya would preach. And who would attend that? Srivas Thakur would attend. Srivas Thakur is Narad Muni. Narad Muni himself, as Srivas, would attend those discourses. And there was a young, bright boy who would sometimes, only 12 years old, he would sometimes come and very intently listen to Advaita Acharya. His mother and father, completely not knowing where this boy was going, they would think he's going out to play. Who was this boy? Vishwarupa. Vishwarup. Who is Vishwarup? Kavi Karnapur says Vishwarup is non-different from? He's non-different from Shankarshana, yeah. Nityananda is Balram, but Vishwarup is Shankarshan. Shankarshan is one level down in terms of ontology. Balram, then Shankarshan. So Vishwarup is expansion of Nityananda in one sense. So Vishwarup would himself come, 12-year-old boy, listen to Advaita. And one fine day, he decided to leave the house of Jagannath Mishra, Mother Sachi, to take sannyas. So Advaita Acharya, seeing the state of affairs of this world, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 6, the same chapter, verse 113 says, Advaita Acharya Gosair Mahima Para Jahara Hunkare Koilo Chaitanya Avatara. Jahara Hunkare Koilo Chaitanya Avatara. Now, Advaita Acharya's father, Kuber Pandit, he would worship Narsingadev Shaligram Shila. The same Shaligram Shila Advaita Acharya would worship by offering a tulsi leaf and the water of the Ganges. And he would say that it is mentioned, it's proclaimed in the Vedas, in the Shastra, in the Puranas, that if you simply offer a tulsi leaf and some Ganges water to Shaligram, all your desires are fulfilled. And my only desire is, my dear Lord, please come in this Kali Yuga. Please deliver these souls who are lost in Maya. So he would call out, Hunkara, which means call out loudly. Please come, Lord Chaitanya, please come. And he once had a dream in which he saw Lord Chaitanya dancing, chanting the holy names. And when he had a dream, he realized, this is the right time. Something miraculous is going to happen. And in the year 1486, when Advaita Acharya is 52 years old by now, he's 52, he appeared in 1434, and it's now 1486. He's 52 years old, and Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra have their second child, Gauranga. And Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita, Advaita Acharya had two wives, Sri Devi and Sita Thakurani. Sita Thakurani, Sri Devi had one son, Sita had six sons. And Sita Thakurani, she goes and she is the first one to enter the inner quarters where Nimai has appeared. And she is the one who gives him the name Nimai, the wife of Advaita. Advaita Acharya is very, very happy. So we see Lord Chaitanya appeared. The external reason for his appearance is Advaita Acharya himself. So Advaita Acharya is mentioned here in this verse as Jagat Mangala. He who has brought auspiciousness to this world, because he is the cause of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Immediately, while Nimai was small, Advaita Acharya started Nagar Sankirtan. Even before Lord Chaitanya, Advaita started Nagar Sankirtan. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, same chapter, verse 114. Sankirtana Pracharya Sabjagata Tarila Advaita Prasade Loka Premadhana Paila. By the mercy of Advaita Acharya, everyone started feeling blissful. Lord Chaitanya had already appeared. Actually, one thing worth mentioning. Not only Lord Chaitanya appeared because of the prayers of Advaita Acharya. Do you know why he disappeared or why he left or finished his pastimes? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Anyone? While I'm saying this, it just comes to my mind. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but Antya Leela, chapter 19, I think text 20 or some to 2021, mentions how when in 14, in 1534, in the year 1534, when Advaita Acharya was 100 years old, he sends a message. He sends a message to Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri. What is the message? The message is, the madman says that everyone in the market has gone mad. And no mad people are available to accept or buy more rice. The madman says that the madman has finished everything that he has come to do. This was the message he sent. Now this was a sort of a puzzle, an enigma. It was sent to Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya read it, he understood. The message from Advaita was, the madman is Advaita, who is maddened with the love of Godhead, saying that the madman says that everyone is already mad now, which means the purpose for which you came, Mahaprabhu, to give love of Godhead to everyone, that purpose has been achieved. There are no mad people willing to buy more rice. Rice is the name of the Lord. I mean, it's flooded. Everyone, everywhere is chanting the holy names. So the madman is saying, the madman may now finish his job. So essentially, it was Advaita Acharya who gave the message to Mahaprabhu, it is now time to wind up your pastimes. So not only Advaita Acharya was the one who called the Lord, he was also the one who prayed and who asked the Lord to finish his pastime. So such a great personality. Next we see, here it is mentioned, Mangala Guna Dhamma. Mangala Guna. Guna means mood or characteristics. What is the mood of Advaita Acharya? Anyone? What is the mood of Advaita Acharya? Yes. Compassion for the living entities, yeah. Very, very good. Who does Advaita represent? Creation and destruction, yes. As Lord Shiva, yeah. That is true. Anyone knows the Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam verse? Yeah? No one? Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam. Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam. Bhakta Rupa, who is Bhakta Rupa? So when we know the verse, we should know the meaning as well. Isn't it? So Bhakta Rupa is Lord Chaitanya himself who appeared in the form of a devotee. Swarupa. Swarupa is the expansion of Krishna, who is non-different from Krishna. That's Lord Nityananda. The next line is Bhakta Avataram. Very good. Bhakta Avatar. He is an incarnation, but he is a devotee. And that is Advaita Acharya. Bhaktakhyam. Bhaktavataram then? Bhaktakhyam. Bhaktakhyam, who is known as Bhakta? Srivas. So Bhaktavatar. So the mood of Advaita Acharya is the mood of a Bhakta. The mood of a devotee. What he represents is a Vaishnava. And he represents a Vaishnava. See, this is very subtle and generally not discussed, but I will mention it because Chaitanya Bhagavat commentary of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He expands on this. And Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, and Kaviraj Goswami himself mentions it as well. So what was the mood of Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya was actually the disciple of, whose disciple was he? Madhavendra Puri. Who was Mahaprabhu's guru? Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri is the godbrother of Advaita Acharya, because they have the same guru. And although Advaita Acharya is the god uncle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would respect him, Advaita Acharya did not consider himself to be the god uncle. He considered himself to be the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, what was his mood? Mood of Advaita Acharya? Bakye kohe mui chaitanyera anuchara mui tara bhakta mane bhave nirantara. I am your servant, Lord Chaitanya. That was his mood. Now, of the six sons of Advaita Acharya, three were of the same mood. They considered Advaita Acharya to be the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But three of them considered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be servant of Advaita. So, in Adi Leela, chapter 12, Kaviraj Goswami says, I will not mention those three because they have gone astray. This happened even during the time of... So, going astray is not new. People can go astray anytime, even in the presence of the Lord. Even if the Lord is telling you something himself, personally, you can go astray. Krishna goes and tells Arjuna, tells Duryodhan, Duryodhan, what you're doing is wrong. What is Duryodhan saying? Jana mya dharmam na cha me pravritti. I know what is wrong, but I have no attraction to stop doing what is wrong. Jana mya dharmam na cha me nivritti. So I know what is right, I have no attraction for it. I know what is wrong, I cannot leave it. So thank you for your information, your instruction, Krishna. And I know somebody in the heart, maybe it's you, who is telling me all the time, what you're doing is wrong. Stop. But somehow I can't stop. So thank you for your advice. But you may go now. So even Mahaprabhu's time, Advaita Acharya's time, his own sons. Now one may philosophically think, how can the son of Advaita Acharya go astray? Well, Advaita Acharya has two parts to him, right? He has the Mahavishnu and he has the Sadashiva. And Lord Shiva's followers, they consider Shiva Tattva as the ultimate. And they consider Vishnu and Krishna and everyone to be expansion of Shiva Tattva and subservient to Shiva Tattva. So it's not amusing why some of the sons of Advaitacharya had gone astray. But what is the mood of Advaitacharya himself? He always considered himself to be a devotee. Bhakta Utaram. So really, if you see how the Lord appeared, Advaitacharya appears first. Bhakta Utaram. Then appears Lord Nityananda, soon, 3rd of February, Trayodashi, in the month of Magh. Lord Nityananda appears, and Lord Nityananda is Guru Tattva. Vaishnavas, Guru. And then Lord Chaitanya appears, who is Bhagavat Tattva himself, the Lord himself. So, the importance of Vaishnavas is understood through Advaitacharya. If we want to understand, please listen attentively. If we want to understand, appreciate, and learn about the glories of the Vaishnavas, then it is Lord Advaitacharya who can give us that understanding, who can protect us from Vaishnava Aparad. So the prayer for this day is very much to seek protection from Vaishnava Aparad. There is a pastime, beautiful pastime, which proves how Advaitacharya always considered himself to be the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya would never, whenever he would see Advaitacharya, immediately he would pay his obeisances, because he's meant to be a guru's godbrother, is the same as the guru. So he would immediately pay obeisances. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't comfortable with that. And Advaitacharya was even more uncomfortable. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was paying obeisances. Advaitacharya was not comfortable with that. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would pay obeisances, because he would know that Mahaprabhu is the Lord himself. How can he accept obeisances from the Lord? So here in Adi Leela chapter 17, we see Acharya Gosai Prabhu Kore Guru Bhakti Tahate Acharya Bodo Hoya Dukha Mati. Mahaprabhu would perform Guru Bhakti by paying obeisances to Advaitacharya. By paying obeisances to Advaitacharya, he would feel as if he is paying obeisances to Ishwarapuri himself. That was Mahaprabhu's mood. Advaitacharya was extremely uncomfortable. Tahate Acharya Bada Hoya Dukha Mati. He would think, oh, how can I receive these obeisances? So once he schemed. He went to Shantipur. He told Mahaprabhu, I have some important job to do at Shantipur. So I'm going to Shantipur. He went to Shantipur. And he did not return for a long time. What did he do in Shantipur? Bhagi kori jnana marga kori lobhya khyana krodha veshe prabhu tare koilo avadjnana. In Shantipur, Advaitacharya gathered all the people of the town. And he started saying, I've had a realization, the true meaning of life is that we are all Brahman. We are all one. There is no differentiation. Hence, my name is Advaita. Non-different. There is no differentiation. We are all one. It's simply an illusion. This world is simply an illusion. And once, through knowledge, this illusion breaks apart, we realize we are all one. Mahaprabhu, somehow some devotees who were attending that session, imagine somebody sitting on the Vyasasa and preaching this. Hey, what is going on? So the devotees went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Mahaprabhu, we cannot believe, our eyes cannot trust our ears. This is what Advaita is doing. Immediately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like a lion, started roaring and ran to Shantipur. And Advaita was sitting there. And he saw Mahaprabhu is coming. And even louder, he said, "We are all one, we are all one." Mahaprabhu came running, seeing that Advaita is shouting, "We are all one. Advaita, have you lost it? You are an old man, but have you really lost it?" Mahaprabhu said. While he is on the dais, Vyasa-san he's preaching. Mahaprabhu went and gave him a strong kick in his chest. And he went rolling down. Oh, the Vyasa-san. And he started kicking him and hitting him. "Do you know what you're saying?" And Sita Thakurani said, "My dear Lord, please stop. He is an old man. He'll die." By that time, Advaita Acharya was already 65 years old. So, he'll die if you kick him like this. "Please stop." And then Advaita Acharya suddenly, as soon as Mahaprabhu stopped because of the prayers of Sita Thakurani, immediately he stood up and started dancing. "Today I have achieved the goal of my life. I have received the kicks from my Lord. I have received the dust of my Lord." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized Advaita Acharya was only scheming. So this pastime shows how Advaita Acharya always considered himself to be the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What was the mood of Advaita Acharya? Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 12, chapter 13, we see this very famous verse, "Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu." Amongst all the Vaishnavas, the best of Vaishnava is Shambhu, Shiva. Amongst all the devotees, the most exemplary devotee is not Nityananda, definitely. Because Nityananda, when he sees, Chaitanya Bhagavat says, sometimes he goes to the pub and he says, "You guys are drinking, I can drink with you." And he sits and he doesn't drink, but he orders and he starts dancing. Sometimes he's going out with Haridas Thakur and he sees that the Ganga is flowing with full flow. He remembers Yamuna because he's Balram. And he thinks that the crocodiles, these are large crocodiles, yeah? Crocodiles in the Ganga, they are the gopis, Balram's gopis. And he jumps in the Ganga and he embraces the crocodiles and says, "Come on, let's chant Hare Krishna." And then he says, "Haridas, join us." Haridas says this. Every day he reports back to Mahaprabhu, "Please, tomorrow, can I go alone?" Sometimes you go Sankirtan with someone. It's tough. Huh? Some people can be very tough. So Nityananda is not exemplary devotee. Mahaprabhu is an exemplary devotee, but he is the Lord himself. But one personality, Bhakta Utaram, is, of course, Srivas Thakur is also Bhakta himself. He is a Jiva Tattva. Advaita Acharya is not Jiva Tattva. He is Vishnu Tattva. So is Nityananda. So is Lord Chaitanya. So Bhakta Utaram, his mood is to constantly serve the Lord. Mangala Charitra, next line is, his characteristics. What are his characteristics? If you really study, and of course we have, time is short, but if we study all the pastimes of Advaita Acharya throughout, it's always about serving the Lord, but even more importantly, serving the Vaishnavas. Because he is Bhakta Avatara. he established how Vaishnavas are more important than anyone else. He himself appeared in a family of Brahmanas, Advaita Acharya. Haridas Thakur was born in a family of mlechas, meat eaters, you know. And according to the society of that day, everyone would perform Shraddha ceremony, annual Shraddha ceremony for their forefathers. And in the Shraddha ceremony, the annual Shraddha ceremony, you must also have observed that in October, actually the Shraddha ceremony is probably, it was followed globally at one point. So even in the West we have Halloween, the same time as we have this Pitru Paksha going on. Almost same time in October you always have Halloween, and in China also they do something. South America they celebrate the Day of the Dead. And you know, they bring out corpses and all kinds of things. So worldwide, there is some Pitru worship. Anyway, the Chinese are all big time into worshipping of the forefathers. So Shraddha ceremony is very common. Everyone does it. But the Vaishnavas, they would perform Shraddha ceremony by inviting Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, or Brahman Vaishnavas. So Advaita Acharya, when he came in touch with Haridas Thakur, from that point onwards, realizing who Haridas is, his love for the holy names, when he would invite devotees or brahmanas for the Shraddha ceremony, when you invite many, the one you offer the meal first, prasadam first, is your chief guest. And Advaita Acharya would offer the first meal. He would have hundreds of brahmanas, but the first meal would be offered to Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur would feel very, very odd. He would say, no, not me. What did Advaita Acharya say? He said, Tumi kahila hoy koti brahmana bhojana. If you eat, it is like feeding 1 million brahmanas. Feeding you, Haridas, is like feeding 1 million brahmanas. Eta boli shraddha patra korailo bhojana. The shraddha patra first he would give to him. If you have first, it is like already feeding 1 million brahmanas, because you are a Vaishnava. This is the glory of a Vaishnava. Hari Bhakti Vilas says, Name Bhaktas Chaturvedi. If I have a Chaturvedi, Chaturvedi means one who knows all the four Vedas. In India people have surname Chaturvedi, because their forefathers, maybe they knew all the Vedas. In Mathura, the word Chaturvedi surname became Chobe. So in Mathura, all the Pandas, they are Chobes. If you go to Vishram Ghat, other places in Mathura, you find every other person is a Chobe. They are Chaturvedis originally. What does Krishna say? Name Abhaktaha Chaturvedi. If a Chaturvedi, knower of the four Vedas, is not my devotee, he is useless. However, Mad Bhakta Shvapachapriya. If I have a devotee who is born in a dog eater's family, we see in South Korea, some parts of South China, people actually eat dogs, right? In South America, they eat dogs. So, even if one is born in a family of a dog eater, if he is a devotee, he is dear to me. Tasmai deyam tato grayam. You give donation to him and accept whatever such a person gives to you in return. Sacha pujyo yathayaham. He is as worshipable as me. So we see that the characteristic of Advaita Acharya, Mangala Charitra, which is mentioned here, was the characteristics of glorifying and accepting the Vaishnavas as the most important, the highest of all. And finally, just a few minutes on Mangala Nama, the name. Actually, Advaitacharya's name when he was born was Mangala, which is Shiva, same as Shiva. But his official name was also, he had two names, Kamalaksha and Kamalakanta. Now, Kamalakanta, what is the meaning of Kamalakanta? Anyone knows? Kamala, who is Kamala, born on the lotus? Who is born on the lotus? Lakshmi Devi. Brahma is, but yeah, not wife of Brahma, or husband of Brahma, but yeah, Kamala is Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi's husband, Kamalakanta, Lord Vishnu. So that was also his name. Mangala, Lord Shiva, his name was. And Kamalakanta, husband of Kamala, was also his name. And also his name was Kamalakshi, one whose eyes are like a lotus. So Kamalakshi is only name of Lord Vishnu. Cannot be name of Lord Shiva. You know, when Daksha in Canto 4, when Daksha Prajapati, his daughter, what's the name of his daughter? Sati. When Sati is going to, well, when Sati attends the big yajna that Daksha performs, and Shiva is not invited, what is the mood? It is mentioned in 4th canto of Bhagavatam. One of the description, Daksha says, Shiva, you are actually not Shiva at all. Your name should be Ashiva, unclean, unauspicious, because you are always in the crematorium. You put the, you know, people take bath with water and sandalwood paste they apply in those days. That we didn't have deodorants and perfumes. They would apply actual sandalwood paste. So he said, but Shiva, what do? You apply bhasma, ashes, from the crematorium. From the corpses that have been burnt, their ashes you apply. You are unclean, Ashiva. And my daughter, Sati, so beautiful, so pretty. She's Shavakshi. Her eyes are like a doe, you know, the female deer. Her eyes are like a female deer. And you, Shiva, Markataksha. This is the word he uses. Markataksha means your eyes are like eyes of a monkey. This is how he abuses Lord Shiva. Of course, our acharyas have given some other meanings. We don't want to digress there. But Lord Vishnu is always known as Kamalakshi, one who has lotus eyes. So, Advaitacharya's name was Kamalakanta, Kamalakshi and Mangala. And once, one final pastime and we'll stop. Once, Mother Shachi. So we know Vishwarupa left, her older son left, and he actually took sannyas. And he took a sannyas and his name was Shankararanya Swami. That is the name of Vishwarup's sannyas name, Shankararanya. Mother Shachi was always worried about the association that Nimai has. Because she already lost one son. And when Nimai started associating with Advaitacharya, she started thinking, not again. I don't want a repetition of what happened to Vishwarupa. This man, his name is Advaita. Dvaita means two. So in another sense, if I give you one loaf of nice Italian bread, baguette, panini, and I break it into two, so I'm actually separating, right? When I'm breaking into two. So Advaita means one, but Dvaita means two, which means separating. So this is the meaning that Sachi Devi took. She said, his name is Advaita. Means one who keeps one together. But his name should be Dvaita. He who separates the family from the family members. He who separates the son from the mother. Like he did for Vishwarupa. So she didn't have a very good, you know, feeling towards Advaitacharya. So Mahaprabhu, during his Mahaprakash Leela in Srivasangan, where he showed his original form, and 21 hours he started displaying his own form and also telling the Swarupa of everyone present in the room, he started revealing who they are in the spiritual world. It was a closed door, private meeting. At one point, devotees said, oh, we don't have Mother Sachi here. Where's Mother Sachi? Should we bring her? Lord Chaitanya says, that offender of a Vaishnava, I would not want to see her face. Now imagine, Mother Sachi is the mother. She is Yashoda in the spiritual world. And yet Mahaprabhu says, one who has offended a Vaishnava, I don't want to see their face. And who was that Vaishnava? Advaitacharya. When Mother Sachi found out, Mother Sachi went to Advaitacharya begging for forgiveness, and Advaitacharya, like a Vaishnava, said, oh, Mother Sachi, how could you even think of begging for forgiveness? What wrong can you do? You are Mother Yashoda yourself. You are the most worshipable in the three worlds. In your womb when you had Gauranga, in your womb when you had Krishna, the demigods in the sky started to shower flowers and worship in so many words. Second chapter, 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, how can you ever offend me, Advaitacharya? Just thinking about the glories of Mother Yashoda, just with those thoughts, he fainted. And when he fainted, Mother Sachi took the dust of Advaitacharya's feet and put it on her head, and immediately Mahaprabhu embraced her. Now you are my mother. So, this is Advaita Tattva. Bhakta Avataram of the Pancha Tattva. This is the Tattva that brings us close to the devotees, that helps us understand the value of a Vaishnava and helps us to avoid offenses towards the Vaishnavas and clears up the path for us to truly receive the grace of our Guru, which is represented by Lord Nityananda. And only through Guru's grace do we become eligible to attain the mercy of the Lord Himself, Lord Chaitanya. So we see, today is Advaitacharya's appearance day. So let us all pray, my dear Lord Advaita, please protect me always from Vaishnava Prad, and always keep me under the shelter of the Vaishnavas, realizing the potency that they possess. Thank you very much. Advaitacharya ki jai. Any questions, comments, corrections? Anyone? I was told because it's a fast, today is a fasting day, it's no breakfast, and it's a festival day, I could go on till 9. So if any questions or comments, yes. Mangalari Prabhu, go on. Mangala Hari. Advaitacharya's name. Yeah. Yeah. In the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Yeah. We briefly mentioned that. He is Shankarshana himself. So Krishna and Balram expands into Chaturvyuha. Vasudeva, Shankarshana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Shankarsana from those Chaturvyuha is Vishwarupa himself. So in one sense he is non-different from Nityananda. But Nityananda is Balaram himself. Kaviraj Goswami says, Vishwarupa is Shankarsana, the second. One place Prabhupada says, he is the second removed from Lord Krishna. Second removed.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, that was a very nice class. Very nice Advaita Katha. Very nice. I'll just start. I think when you said the demigods were praising Yashoda in her womb, wasn't that a Devaki?
Also, Mother Yashoda.
As well?
But second chapter is Devaki, yes, yeah, you're right.
Okay. Yeah. And when you were
you know, Vishwanath Chakuri Thakur says that the same time Devaki was pregnant, Yashoda was pregnant with
Yogamaya.
And
Krishna?
Yes, okay. Twins.
Oh, okay.
And then what happens is this. This is a great secret. Well, when secret is revealed like off the cuff, quick, it may not make sense, but I'm going to try. So you have Mother Yashoda with twin children in her womb. Yogamaya and Krishna. Yeah, twins. And you have Krishna in Devaki. The Krishna in Devaki's womb is Lord Narayana, 400 form. The original Krishna is Mother Yashoda's womb. When the child is born, when the children are born to Mother Yashoda, she gives birth to two, a girl and a boy. The boy remains invisible, not perceptible. And you have Vasudev bringing over the Vasudev Krishna from Mathura to Mahavan. Mahavan is where, Gokul in Mahavan is where Nanda Maharaj used to live. So, in Mahavan. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, because he's an expansion of the original Lord Krishna, he merges into the original Lord. When we say merges, it's not like two becoming one. They are one anyway, right? So that Krishna is then present with Mother Yashoda and Yogamaya is then transferred over. Now, what is the need for having this Vasudev Krishna to be in the womb of Mother Yashoda? What is the need? So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he expands further in the middle chapters of 10th canto. He says, that part of Krishna which is enjoying with his friends and enjoying with the gopis and enjoying with, you know, Nand Baba and others, that is the original Lord. But that Krishna who feels anger at the demons, who kills the demons, is the Vasudeva Krishna. So you need both to perform that. So anyway, that kind of answers. So the prayers were not done by demigods just for Devaki.
Not just for Devaki.
Also for...
Okay.
Hey, there's another thing. Skanda Puran says, another name of Yashoda was Devaki. Anyway, okay.
Well,
continue.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Continue.
So technically,
what's your name, Prabhu?
Sam.
And
then the one thing I wanted to add, when you were talking about the relationship with Advaita and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it reminded me of one verse. Jaya Jaya Advaita Chandra Chaitanya Ra Arya Svacharane Bhakti Deha Jaya Advaita Acharya. All glories to Advaita Acharya, who is treated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as superior due to his age and respectability. So yeah. I'm reminded of that verse.
Yeah, he treats him as superior, but that's not to Advaita Acharya's liking. He makes, everything, yeah. And even when Mahaprabhu wants to go to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri, he's having these waves of ecstatic separation from Vrindavan. He wants to go to Vrindavan. So he says, I want to go to Vrindavan. Nityananda says, I'll come along with you. Mahaprabhu says, no, I'm fine. I'll go by myself. No, I will come along with you. So they go to Alalnath first. And from Alalnath, they go south. Now, if you go south, But if you go southwest, you'd reach Vrindavan. Instead, what Nityananda does is he wants to avoid Mahaprabhu from going to Vrindavan and fainting and ecstatic. So he takes him along the path of the Ganga. And along the path of the Ganga, what's along the path of the Ganga? If you, in modern India, if you go to the Hooghly and go along the Hooghly, you'll reach Mayapur, right? So along the path of the Ganga, at one point, Mahaprabhu is running like a madman, and Nityananda is with him and others are with him. And at one point, Mahaprabhu sees Advaita Acharya. He says, "Advaita, even I didn't expect you to meet you in Vrindavan, in Vrajbhumi. It's so wonderful, even you're here." And Advaita Acharya says, "Yes, he's actually in Shantipur." So they have misled Mahaprabhu to Shantipur. And that's when Sachidevi comes and cooks shark for Lord Chaitanya. And Advaita Acharya's favorite is pumpkin. So Sita Thakurani also cooks pumpkin. And at that point, both Prabhus, Nityananda and Chaitanya, they take prasadam in Advaita Acharya's house. And that is the prasadam prayer that we have. Eko dina shanti pure. Have you heard that? If you go to Mayapur, they're saying this prasadam prayer. Eko dina shanti pure. One day in Shantipur. Prabhu Advaita Raghore. In the house of Advaita. Dui Prabhu Bhojane Boshilo. Both the Prabhus, they were set for prasadam. Why? When did this happen? When Mahaprabhu. So Advaita Acharya, even in that context, on that day, he served Mahaprabhu first. Mahaprabhu said, no, you are like my god uncle. You should be served first. Advaita Acharya said, well, that may be true, but today I am the host. So the host has to serve the guest. So like that, you know, he would never accept. I'm just talking in reference to that verse you quoted. Thank you. Anything else? Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for class. I just had a question. So are Sada Shiva and Mahavishnu of different tattvas then?
Is it on? No. Okay. I can repeat the question if you want. Yeah, go on.
Are they of different tattvas? And then Sadashiva, does he come from a Lord Sankarshan?
Yes.
And they're both of different tattvas, though.
Sadashiva and Sankarshan are different, yes.
No, Mahavishnu and...
Mahavishnu and...
Sadashiva.
Are different, yes.
Different tattvas?
No, tattvas, they're both... Vishnu Tattva. Sadashiva is... Okay. So Rupa Goswami has revealed who Sadashiva is. If you look at the spiritual sky, right there, spiritual sky, you have Goloka. In the northeast corner, the northeast where the camera is, the northeast corner of the spiritual sky, I'm not saying this, Rupa Goswami says, in the northeast corner of the spiritual sky, is an entire planet, Vaikuntha planet, which is overseen by Sadashiva. And Sadashiva is not like the Shiva that we see. He's a 400 Narayan form. And from that Sadashiva comes the energy, the tattva, that is Shambhu tattva, which is the tattva that... The glance of Mahavishnu that actually energizes Mayadevi, impregnates Mayadevi or Pradhan to get the creation going. But this Sadashiva is there in that corner there, northeast. So he's not Shiva Tattva now. Sadashiva is Vishnu Tattva. Huh? Ramadevi, yes. his consort is Lakshmi Devi, expansion of Lakshmi Devi. And Lord Shiva cannot be with Lakshmi Devi. Yeah? Lord Shiva has to be with Mahamaya, Parvati, Durga, Katyayani. These are his consorts. Okay, yes, next question.
Haribol, I wonder, what is the mood when you know, Advaita Acharya asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to leave? When he wrote this scriptive, you know, this, you know, message, how does a devotee, they invite the Lord, that makes sense in a way, mm-hmm. but then how do they dictate, or how do they just ask? Because why, the Lord should know himself, right? I mean, he should understand, yeah. or I don't know.
What is the mood of a devotee when he invites the Lord? What's the mood
when he asks him to leave?
When he asks him to leave. It's just as much as it's about a personal interaction, a personal relationship. Like, for example, every morning we wake up the Lord, and every evening the pujaris, after Shayanarthi, they say, "My dear Lord, please take rest." We don't say, "Ah, come on, you Krishna, you know when to take rest. Just do what you want, man." No, we don't do that. Why? There is a personal relationship. "My dear Lord," actually Advaita Acharya and Bhaktivinoda Thakur has commented. Now, I can't remember where. My memory is not so good, failing. So, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one place, Advaita Acharya, when he invited the Lord, he invited with a very heavy heart. That, "I'm giving you trouble. I'm asking you to personally come. And I'm giving you the trouble." And so that part I have studied, I've read. So I'm just extending that thought. You know, the purpose for which I called you, the trouble that I gave you, you fulfill that purpose, my Lord. So now you may do as you please. You may finish your pastime. So that's the mood. Of course the Lord knows, and he will stay as long as he wants. But more importantly, aham bhakta paradhino, Bhagavatam says. Para means other. Adhina means dependent. The Lord is completely independent. Srila Prabhupada uses one word, which is beautiful, never ever would you read that anywhere else. I suspect it's probably, he repeats his Guru Maharaj's words, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur words, to describe Krishna. He says, Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna is the supreme autocrat. Means completely independent. And yet, Krishna himself says, "I'm not independent. I am dependent on my devotee." So what is it that makes him dependent on his devotee? It is love and love alone. It is the love of the Lord for his devotees. So it's the love of Advaita Acharya that brings him. And it's the overwhelming love of Advaita Acharya that makes Advaita Acharya tell him, "My dear Lord, you've now fulfilled your purpose. You may do as you please. You may leave." Does that make sense? So we'll still do Shayanarthi. Yes.
I was just appreciating the comment you just made. Would it be fair to say that Advaita Acharya, his immense compassion for the suffering living entities, is why he's asking the Lord to come?
Absolutely.
Which is showing the exemplary quality of a Vaishnava.
Yes.
That his heart is bleeding for the conditioned souls. And the request is not for him.
Again, perfect. The compassion of Advaita Acharya to call the Lord is an exemplary quality of a Vaishnava. And that is true. It's an exemplary quality of Vaishnava we find in Vasudeva Datta. Maggots who are eating your body, if they fall off your body, you pick them up and bring them back and put them on your body, saying, "Oh, My body is nothing but a food for these maggots. Why should I let a maggot starve? So much compassion for living entities. So Vaishnava is all about compassion. Yes, Vishnu Prabhu. Oh, and then you can give it to Mataji.
I was just observing what you said, and it's true, and it should be emphasized about how to be very careful to not offend devotees, which is the most important
aspect. Yeah.
Aspect, you know, for advancing in spiritual, because sometimes I've seen, you know, in ISKCON, devotees are very, very careful to not offend the guru. Is the highest priority, or to not offend the murti, the deities, deity worship, very attentive. And but then the least that they pay attention, you know, is to treat another Vaishnava with, and we are casual and offensive on each other. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj once said, Prabhupada didn't fabricate, you know, the 10 offenses. He just passed them on as they are. And you can see the number one is not the Guru Ravarkya. Guru Ravarkya is number 3.
Correct.
And even offense to the Lord to put demigods. And
it's later.
Later. And the very first one is a Sadhuninda. Otherwise, the very first one should be Guru Ravarkya.
Absolutely.
If he was the most important one, because in my own experience, you know, devotees, they're very careful to not make offenses to the guru, but they're very casual, you know, with words with other devotees. But you, what I took away from the class, you know, that even if he's the mother of God,
yeah,
she makes an offense
to a Vaishnava.
To a Vaishnava, yeah. It's such a serious thing. And this thing, you know, happens every day. Even by thinking casually or wrongly or judging another Vaishnava.
Actually, Mother Sachi never verbally said this. She only thought about Advaita like that. And yet, Mahaprabhu considered that as an offense.
So anyway, that was... It's a good point that I think Vaishnavas... A real Vaishnav, it's someone who learned to love what he sees before he learned to love what he doesn't see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see my Guru Maharaj. He's passed away. But some devotees, that, you know, because the Guru is in America or somewhere, you know, they feel like... And then, you know, they become familiar and casual with other devotees.
It's a great secret, what you mentioned. Mahaprabhu's philosophy is a great secret. You very rightly said, if somebody has to go on the altar, you would actually do achman, proper achman, and you'd do so many things, mantras, be so clean, and then you go on the altar. Guru is more merciful. And we might take Guru slightly cheaply sometimes. And that's a great offense. But by many counts, a greater offense is to offend a devotee. And we're not careful with devotees. We are frivolous. We are unkind in many ways. Casual. Not realizing who this person is. We think he's just an ordinary grihastha, ordinary brahmachari, ordinary vanaprasthi or whoever. What we don't know is their relationship with Krishna. And what they carry in their heart, we don't know. And we never can until we actually learn to understand Vaishnavas. So, thank you for sharing. It's profound and it's extremely important. Jagannath Das Babaji, he said, if you go up on the altar and you do all the mantras and everything and you go up on the altar, the Lord will be pleased with you because you're trying to be clean. But if you look at a Vaishnava in a wrong way, the Lord is unhappy with you. So, when you approach a Vaishnava, you should be as clean as you are altar clean. This is one of the statements he had made. This was shared by Lalita Prasad. You know Lalita Prasad. Son of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's brother. Son of Bhaktivinoda. So, anyway, so we see Vaishnavas are very profound. I mean, we have the example of Kuresh. He was fanning Varadraj. Varadraj would chat with him casually. So, what's the news of the town today? The Lord is chatting and his servant is fanning. And then one day, the Lord is absorbed and not looking at Kuresh while Kuresh is fanning. So Kuresh says, my dear Lord, is everything okay? You are too thoughtful today. And the Lord says, oh, I'm thinking of my servant. Your servant? I'm right here. He says, no, not you. I'm thinking of Ramanuja. He's such a wonderful servant. He carries me in his heart and I'm always with him and he's always with me. And I'm thinking of him. What does Kuresh do? He says, Varadaraj, you thinking of Ramanuja? Hey, listen, take this fan in your right hand. You can fan yourself. I'm going to go and serve Ramanuja. He says, what's the point in serving you? I'll serve Ramanuja. The devotee who is always occupying your heart is the one that I want to serve, right? So we see that the devotees are incredibly powerful. Actually, who gave us Prabhupada? Some point, someone who was a devotee. They gave us Prabhupada and they gave us Krishna. So Guru and Krishna are both given to us by a devotee. So today is the day when Advaita Acharya, we can pray, please. And we are surrounded by devotees. The most unfortunate thing is that we are so close to the highest object which is there in this material world, which is the devotee. The highest object. And yet, we forget our wife is a devotee. Our husband is a devotee. Our child is a devotee. Our parents may be devotees. And because they are so close to us, we think nothing of them. It's like being surrounded by the most precious jewels and ignoring them completely. So spiritual jewels, devotees. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that reflection. One final question and we'll stop. Yes. Mother Jayanti, yes. Go on.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your class. Can you hear?
I can. Oh, okay. I think it's fine. I'll repeat it.
All right. My question is, I was thinking about Lord Chaitanya and the pastimes where he went and beat up Advaita Acharya, which you just narrated in the class. And we know that Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation. He's magnanimous. He's very kind to everyone. And simultaneously, he beats up Advaita Acharya. And I'm sure that there are other ways to show superiority than beating up. And when his mother didn't give him the garland, she didn't have the garland to worship Ganga Puja, she broke the whole house. So I don't know, I have a problem a little bit with that. How to combine the two?
How to reconcile his magnanimity, his compassion with...
Why the need to beat Advaita Acharya? Yeah. I mean, you can show...
Yes.
Mean, he can...
There are other ways for him to do things, yeah? We tend to superimpose our rights and wrongs on everything in this world and everyone in this world, including the Lord. So we tend to superimpose what the Lord should have done based on what we feel is the right thing to do. Now, here's the simple answer. The Lord's independent, so he behaves the way he does. But there is another deeper answer, which is his breaking pots. Krishna did that in Vraj Leela. He would break pots, not just his own house, his neighbors and everyone in the village. They were disturbed in many ways by him. And Krishna's chastisement is sometimes even desired by the devotee. In the case of Advaita Acharya, he actually schemed to be kicked by the Lord. He schemed that I should do something that he will come and he will give me his dust directly on my heart. He schemed, he desired it. And in that sense, the Lord simply fulfilled his desire. Jaya and Vijay, they schemed. Hiranyakashipu, you know, wanted to kill Vishnu and wanted to be such an enemy of Vishnu that Vishnu has to come and fight with me. And that was somewhere his desire. So the Lord simply reciprocates. Jiva Goswami answers this in Bhakti Sandarbha. That actually we think, why sometimes the Lord behaves in a way which is counter, is opposite of his supposed nature, to be very compassionate, merciful and kind, and he behaves this way. Why? How? So Jiva Goswami explains, just like on the bank of the river Ganga, you find trees of mangoes and also trees of neem. Neem is bitter, mango is sweet. Jiva Goswami says Ganga cannot be faulted because one tree is bitter, the other is sweet. Ganga is simply providing the water equally. It is the nature of the tree itself to be bitter or to be sweet. Similarly, one living entity, whatever their desire, the Lord simply reciprocates. He's not being unkind specifically or being specifically kind. Overarchingly, he's always kind. But his kindness is also expressed through his seeming unkindness. Like with Advaita Acharya, he desired, he schemed to be beaten up. He wanted to be beaten up.
So it was actually the desire for Advaita Acharya.
Absolutely. The gopis in Vrindavan, they say that, when will the Lord come to our house? And by coming to our house, come closer to our hearts and break these pots. They would actually fill the pots with the best of yogurt, competing in their minds that the Lord should come to our house because I have the biggest pot of yogurt and he should break this pot. So what seemed to be like a disturbance, an annoyance, is somewhere the desire, the deep desire of the living entity. And sometimes we face troubles in our life and somewhere, somehow, either we acted in a certain way, willingly, unwillingly, we desired it. And hence the Lord reciprocates. Right?
Thank you.
Okay, we're running up against time now, so it's a quick one. I promise I will stop after this.
I remember when I was for the first time in Mayapur for Gopurnim festival, we went to Shantipur to serve Prashadam on the appearance day of Advaita Acharya. Can you say something about the significance of that first time? That this is a tradition that in Shantipur they serve Prashadam.
Yes. Like I was telling Sam, the pastime when Mahaprabhu was led by Nityanandan to the house of Advaita Acharya. That is exactly the pastime which is reenacted by distributing prasadam even now in Shantipur. And it is said one who has prasadam in Shantipur, the demigods personally take the remnants of that person's prasad. It is said. Indra, Varuna, they are all waiting in a queue. When will this person's plate finish? And then they take the remnant. That is how powerful Shantipur is. So, alright. Shri Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Shri Prabhupada Ki. Jai. Hey Krishna.